On this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll assess the Dodgers' perennially deep roster.
Like death and taxes, Dodgers get a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Tuesday, February 23rd. I'm Al Melker, and with me for this episode is Michael Beller. And Michael, we might have to expand the format. We're talking about the Dodgers here. So much to get to with this team.
Oh, man. I honestly can't even remember what team it was I was joking about. Oh, it was the Braves, right? And I said, like, I wish we could make this Fantasy Baseball in 30 last week. I mean, the Dodgers, we need to make this, like, Fantasy Baseball in an hour 30 to get through this entire roster. But we're going to do what we can in the 15 minutes we've got.
All right. Well, hopefully here to not only help us break down the Dodgers, but maybe teach us something about speed reading is Pedro Mora, who covers the Dodgers for The Athletic. Pedro, thank you so much for dropping in on Fantasy Baseball 15 and chatting some Dodgers with us.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, as always, with the Dodgers. But, of course, one hitter that's just going to be a constant is Cody Bellinger. But the performance from him has not really been constant year to year. So can you help us to understand maybe which version of Cody Bellinger you think is most likely to show up in 2021?
Maybe neither. Maybe something in between, right? I think is that would be my expectation, is neither an 800 OPS player nor a 1,000, but something in the 850 to 900 range. That seems like the kind of player he can be. You know, this is a guy who's obviously as talented as any player in the sport, but does not have the sort of mastery of hitting that he can be consistent for months on end. You know, even his 19 was propelled by a truly supernatural April, one of the best months in Major League history. And so he's you know, he's a great player, and even, you know, and I guess maybe he gets lost somewhat in fantasy because a lot of what else he does is not as easily quantifiable on the field, right? This is a great defender, a guy who came up as a first baseman, is now a Gold Glove caliber center fielder, which is obviously sounds pretty ridiculous when you put it that way. So the Dodgers, you know, I think are pretty confident that they're going to get, you know, a top 20 player type season out of Bellinger. It's just not clear if that's going to come, you know, in the form of 40 homers, 30, you know, if he's going to be able to consistently, you know, put the ball in play. I would say that the strength of his 2020, although it doesn't really come across great in the numbers, is that he still walked a lot and didn't strike out an outrageous amount. And that was, you know, a strength, I think, for him, is that he is he's becoming a more consistent hitter in terms of his plate patience, his strike zone command, and that's what the Dodgers love. That's if there's one thing they prioritize more than anything else, it's strike zone command from their hitters. And you know, that showed up in the postseason when Bellinger was solid, a lot better than he had been in postseasons past. And that's, you know, one of the primary reasons the Dodgers actually pulled it off and won.
Yeah, we've had great Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger MVP races, and now 2021 gives us the who can bounce back stronger, Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger race. Something else that 2021 could potentially give us, and asking you here, Pedro, is it going to give us Gavin Lux as an everyday player?
It's a great question. The Dodgers would love to know as well, and they wanted that last year. It just didn't work out. Lux was not the player he had been in 19 in 2020. He was a late arrival to summer camp, and then when he was finally up with the major league team, his throwing was a huge problem. You know, this is a player who's battled the yips in his past, been open about it, and if you go back and look at his throws in September 2020, when he had a chance to audition to be their playoff second baseman, I charted each one. About, I think it was about 30 to 35% of his throws were weird, were in one way or another uncomfortable, awkward. He did not set his feet when running into on throws. It was a strange thing, and the Dodgers pivoted and went to Chris Taylor, and Lux was, you know, on the outs for the postseason, although he was around. It really depends on, you know, his offense, which it wasn't great last year either, but there's plenty of reason to believe that that's going to come back around in time. You know, this is still a very young man. But the serious concern, I think, for me and for, I would assume, for fantasy consumers is, can he consistently throw the ball from second to first? I know that sounds a little ridiculous for a guy who came up as a shortstop, but right now it's an uncertainty. And so without knowing whether that's going to be right, it's really hard to project him to be the Dodgers' everyday second baseman. I think Chris Taylor's a better bet simply because he's a more dependable player at this stage.
All right, well, let's shift the focus to the rotation. And a little while back, actually, had written a piece for the fantasy section of The Athletic on Trevor Bauer and seeing if, first of all, there's any kind of scenario where you could imagine Trevor Bauer getting his wish to start every fourth day. No. And then if that does happen, what does that do for his fantasy value? So I think we'll leave the second question aside for now, or people can read the piece. But do you see that as any kind of plausible scenario?
No, I do not. Not at all. Not in any way. I extremely doubt that. There's just very little upside for the Dodgers. The idea is for this man to be good for them throughout the year, but the point is to be great in the postseason. That's why they signed him. They want to win another World Series. You know, they want to be, you know, a forever remembered dynasty. And it doesn't really, like, they're already favored to win the division by 8 games. Like, they don't need more Bauer in April, May, and June. What they need is Bauer at his best come October. And so, unless you can come up with a real reason why pitching more often, why throwing 260 innings a year after you threw 80 is going to be better for your arm, then I just see that as a patently ridiculous idea. You know, honestly, if they stick with a 5-man rotation, that'd be a lot more than most, right? And Walker Buehler, who's sort of looked at in a lot of ways like Bauer, in that they throw as hard as they can, that not really traditional ace body types, but have made themselves into hard throwing, you know, pitch experimenting pitchers. The Dodgers rarely ever start him even on traditional rest. If you look back, I think in his career, only about 12 starts out of his many have been on traditional rest. Whenever possible, they give him 6 days. And so if Bauer gets to stick to a normal 5-man rotation, he should be happy with the circumstances here. I don't see any way in which the Dodgers are consistently using him in any sort of 4-man rotation.
This has been the truth about the Dodgers for years now. For so many years, there were seasons where the fantasy world was just begging for Ross Stripling to get a regular gig in the starting rotation. Kenta Maeda had to spend more time in the bullpen than a lot of us would have liked to have seen. And here we are once again in 2021. Those guys are gone, but we still have the same concerns for Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin. What should we expect the roles for these two pitchers to be this season?
I think they're going to be up and down. They're going to be up and down rotation, bullpen, maybe even some minor league time. It's important to note with the Dodgers that they are not going to stretch any of their starters to 33 starts. You know, Julio Urias in particular, after still having not had a full major league season under his belt, although he's been in the big leagues now for 5 years, they're not going to want him to throw 180 to 190 innings this year. So it's a virtual certainty that they are going to find ways to rest him and to get May and Gonsolin his starts. And that's counting even without a significant injury. That's just, they're going to rest him at times. And the same is probably true for David Price, who threw nothing last year. And so it only makes sense that they're going to find ways. You know, I would count on 26 or so starts for a lot of the five guys that you're thinking of as their starting rotation, because this is going to be a big buildup year for all of them. And I think the point is, you know, the Dodgers are not going to run at any time a six-man rotation, but they are going to, by the end of the year, it's going to probably look something like they ran a 6-man rotation, but it's always going to have been in separate, you know, it's going to be 5 men at a time starting. So count on Gonsolin and May each, you know, throw 100 plus innings. I expect that as long as they're healthy. It's just, you know, they might be in long relief roles. It might be in 10 starts each, something like that. And then in the postseason, who knows?
So in other words, sounds sort of like the status quo, like Michael was saying before, different faces, but same kind of conundrums for getting innings for everybody. Now, in terms of the bullpen situation, I mean, that's been incredibly stable for several years, but we have seen some decline, you know, mild but gradual from Kenley Jansen. Is this the year perhaps where maybe he starts to give way and saves get split up among multiple relievers?
Maybe, you know, it sort of happened last year in the playoffs. I could see that happening. I think so much of it depends on what Jansen pitches like. There were times last year where he was really good. There were also times where he was not good at all. And it sort of depends. The Dodgers are, as you would expect, speaking very confidently about him this spring. He's become Trevor Bauer's new long toss partner, and they're challenging each other in that regard, they say. But we just don't know. You know, we don't know how the movement on the cutter is going to be. We don't know how consistent the velocity is going to be. And I think it really depends on that. The thing about the Dodgers bullpen is there's a lot of talented pieces there. They obviously did really well last year as a bullpen, but there is no obvious candidate to be Jansen's replacement. And so, yes, I think if it's not Jansen as the closer, it's likely to be a hodgepodge of people, as you set out, kind of filling in as necessary. I do not see one man taking over. I mean, Bruzar Graterol, the young man, was their best reliever, scouts would say, last year, but he does not have the strikeout stuff right now to really be a anywhere near a normal closer. I think his strikeout rate is about 5 per 9 innings, which you do not see. You know, you're more likely to have twice or three times that number as a closer than you are to have five. He's just a sinker baller and who hitters consistently seek early contact on. And that's their best reliever. It's just not exactly the arm you want as a ninth inning guy in a shutdown situation.
Looking back at the lineup here, Pedro, Will Smith is emerging as one of the better offensive catchers in the league. And certainly in our fantasy game, he's someone who is right up there on people's minds. Once JT Realmuto is off the board, he's in that next group of catchers. So expect him to be getting plenty of playing time behind the dish this season. But then, of course, you look down to the minors and you see K-Bear Ruiz, one of the best catching prospects that we have in the game. What's the organization's plan for him, with him realistically being blocked at the catcher position right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think as of now, he's ticketed for AAA. There's just no spot for him. Austin Barnes is a totally competent backup catcher. The Dodgers just signed to a 2-year deal to ride out his arbitration years, and I think they're going to stick to that. And you know, Ruiz is going to be in the same role as he was last year, which is he's the organization's third catcher. And in the event of an injury to Will Smith or Barnes, you know, it'll be Ruiz's time up there. But until then, you know, and unless that happens, he's not going to get significant big league time. You know, maybe they could turn to him as a third catcher on the major league roster for a time, but I wouldn't see that as a full season play. And so, yeah, it's always made sense for a long time now, dating back 2 or so years with Smith's emergence, it's made sense for Ruiz to be a trade candidate. And at no point would I be surprised if Ruiz is traded, you know, and as the primary piece in a blockbuster, maybe not quite a blockbuster, but for a significant player, that would totally make sense. You know, let's say an injury happens somewhere else on the diamond and the Dodgers need a replacement. You know, Ruiz could totally be the guy who they send along to acquire that great replacement.
Well, yeah, that was going to be a follow-up question for me. You know, whether that would be more realistic than a position change for any of those catchers. So you know, I guess fantasy wise, that's, you know, that's a positive for all involved there.
Yeah, I don't see a position change for any of them quite, not in 2021, no.
All right. Well, something maybe we can keep tabs on long term. But Pedro, we could certainly do a lot more than 15 minutes on the Dodgers. But we are going to wrap up this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. If you're enjoying this podcast on a platform that lets you leave a rating and a review, we greatly appreciate it if you take the time to do that. So Pedro Mora, thank you so much for answering our Dodgers questions, and looking forward to your coverage throughout the season.
Thank you both. Appreciate it.
All right, our pleasure. So for Pedro Mora and for Michael Beller, I'm Al Melker, and we'll be right back here on Wednesday.